Our first scripture passage for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew from the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." And from the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, select verses from Deuteronomy chapter 31. When Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "I am now 120 years old. I am no longer able to get about, and the Lord has told me, 'You shall not cross over this Jordan River. The Lord your God himself will cross over before you, and Joshua also will cross over before you, as the Lord promised.'" My friends, the grass may wither and the beautiful flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning, we are continuing our sermon series on the topic of evangelism. And I kicked off this sermon series with a parable of the acorns. I told the story about how one day last fall, the girls and I were hiking on one of my favorite trails, and we found a patch of rocks alongside the stream. And there on the rocks were hundreds of acorns whose shells had broken open. And out of those broken open shells, there were on each acorn a small, single white root searching blindly for some good soil in which to take hold and to grow. And I told about how in that moment and in the days and weeks that followed, God spoke to me that these acorns on those rocks were a parable for the folks in our surrounding communities. God spoke to me to say that in our area, people's hearts have been broken and cracked open. And from those broken open hearts are emerging the small and blind roots of faith. Roots of faith which are searching for God and searching for good news and searching for good soil where those roots can take hold and grow and thrive. In my first sermon on this sermon series, I made the case that our calling is to help our neighbors to find what we have found here at church. A place where the roots of our faith have been able to take hold and to grow in the love of God and the love and care of this faith community. Now, personally, I hear this calling from God, and I believe that God wants us to help transplant those acorns with those searching roots. I feel God laying this calling on my heart. But the problem is, I feel like I have zero experience in training and transplanting acorns. I feel like I have zero knowledge or experience in how to help someone who has the root of faith beginning to emerge from their heart. What do I say? When do I say it? How often do I say it? Maybe saying it isn't the issue at all. Maybe it's about doing something. But then what do I do? And when do I do it? And how do I do it? There are so many questions to which, honestly, I don't know the answers. I feel this sense of calling to help those little acorns with those little roots. But I also realize that the practice of transplanting acorns is completely foreign to me. And so part of the reason that I wanted to engage in this sermon series was to try and find out why. Why does this practice, this idea, this calling, why does it seem so foreign and obscure and abnormal to me and perhaps to many of you as well? Why don't we do evangelism? Why doesn't it come more naturally for us? To be honest, I've been asking this question for a couple of years now, and I think with God's help, I've come to understand at least part of the answer to the question of why the calling and the practice of evangelism seems so strange to me, and maybe to some of you as well. One of the main reasons why, I believe, is a historic reason. Evangelism, the practice and concept of evangelism itself, didn't even exist at the time when our denomination was being created. Because of that, because evangelism wasn't around at the onset, when the foundations of our church culture were being created, that fact of history means that for us, evangelism hasn't been a part of the values or practices and culture of what it means for us to be Christians and what it means for us to be a part of the church. When our denomination, the Reformed Church, when it was being created in Western Europe in the mid-1500s, evangelism was not a concept that existed. Do you believe that? Do you know that? Evangelism didn't exist. When our denomination, the Reformed Church, was being created, it didn't exist because everyone in Europe at the time was already considered a member of a Christian church. In Europe in the 1500s, church membership was not a matter of personal choice. If you were a resident, a citizen of a kingdom in a region that we call Europe, like Germany or France or Switzerland or England or the Netherlands, if you were a resident, a citizen in one of those kingdoms, you were also, legally speaking, an official member of the church of that official kingdom. And if you were a resident of that kingdom, a member of that kingdom's church, if you were a resident of one of those kingdoms and a member of one of those kingdom's churches, there were consequences if you didn't attend Sunday morning worship. Back in the 1500s, not going to church wasn't just, you know, maybe an offense against God. It was an offense against the king or the township council or whatever ruling body reigned over the kingdom in which you were living. Not going to church on a Sunday morning was a political statement, and it was a way of showing civil disobedience against the king or the monarch or the city council. If you didn't like your king, not going to his official church was a way to thumb your nose at him. It was a way to say, I hope God knocks you off the throne. It was a way to say, I'm not going to go to church and pray for you. Forget it. And for that reason, not going to church was a civil offense, punishable by things like fines or jail time or corporal punishment, or even in extreme cases, not going to church could have been and was in Europe punishable with a death sentence. This historic reality that everyone who was a part of the kingdom was already automatically considered a member of the church, this mentality extended to the original colonies here in North America. If you were to go, and you could go and find the charter for the colony of Jamestown, Virginia, which got its start in 1607. You can go and read in the charter, and it spells out the consequences of not going to church if you were a part of the colony. It spells out the consequences, if you're living in Jamestown, of not going to the church services provided by King James. Jamestown. King James. King James's churches. If you missed church on one Sunday as a colonist, you would be fined. If you missed church on two Sundays in a row, the colonial leaders would reduce your rations. They would force you into a fast, okay? If you missed church three Sundays in a row, you would be whipped. And if you were so obstinate as to, even after being warned and whipped, miss four Sundays in a row, the law of the colony, which you signed on the dotted line to say, yes, I'll be a member of this colony, the law stipulated that if you missed four Sundays in a row, the punishment was to be executed. You were to be killed. I trust you can appreciate how at the time of the founding of our denomination, which was happening at the same time as the colony of Jamestown was coming into existence, evangelism as a concept and a practice simply did not exist. Everyone was already assumed and compelled by law to be a member of a church. And so because of that, the great and blessed thinkers who gathered together the beliefs and the practices that make up our church life, they had no reason to include anything about the idea of evangelism in the constitution that makes up our church's history and our church's life. Within the Reformed era constitution of our denomination, within the creeds and institutional documents that guide us and set the tone and tenor and culture of our church life, there is honestly not a single word or even the hint of the idea of evangelism. There is no guidance, no expectation, no models given for the practice of picking up the acorns and transplanting them into the good soil of the church community. The style of ministry that our founders gave us was for a congregation of seedlings that were already planted in the garden. The gathering of the congregation, the butts in the pews, that part was assumed and taken for granted. The gathering of the congregation was assumed, and so the training that people like me, that ministers and leaders received, the model and example of ministry that was passed down from generation to generation, was for how ministers and leaders would minister to a congregation that was already in the building. It would be like learning how to garden, but only learning what to do when the seeds and the plants of the garden were already well established in the beds of the soil. There was no training, there is no training, for planting or handling seeds themselves. For the most part, honestly, for the most part, I was taught the same things that every Dutch Reformed minister has been taught since the early 1600s. I've been taught how to tend the garden that's already been planted. I was taught church history, biblical studies, theology. I was taught how to stand up here and preach, which is great. You can't hear me across the street. I was taught how to administer sacraments. I was taught how to lead Bible studies, how to teach a confirmation class. I was taught to serve a congregation once it was gathered around me, but I was never once in my childhood, in all of my growing up in the church, in my seminary training, nor in the past 8 years of ministry, I have never been taught or given a model for how to reach out beyond the congregation and help others learn about the fact that God loves them and cares for them, and that there is a community of faith here where the knowledge and love of God can be learned and experienced and received. My friends, sometimes we realize that God is calling us to do something new and different, beyond what we have experienced or practiced before. Sometimes we find that God calls us and sends us out into uncharted territory. In our scripture passage from the book of Deuteronomy, that is exactly what is happening to God's people. The passage that I read from the book of Deuteronomy is the story of Moses's retirement and the beginning of Joshua's leadership for God's people. In his book on evangelism, longtime pastor and evangelist Jim Henderson, he uses this passage to remind us that in our lives of ministry, God gives us what we need for the challenges that we face, even when those challenges are like the experience of entering uncharted territory. Moses was one of God's greatest servants, but when it came to leading God's people across the Jordan River and into the new challenges that existed in the Promised Land, that work, that chapter of the story, that leadership was not a part of Moses' calling for God's people. Instead, God's people needed the gifts and the leadership style of Joshua for this new chapter of their story. There was transition. There was change. And personally, my friends, I'm realizing that we've been struggling under an old style of leadership because we are way overdue to start learning from a leader like Joshua. Moses was there for God's people in powerful ways. Moses was there for God's people when they needed to be rescued from Egypt and guided through the wilderness. Moses was there to go up on Mount Sinai and get the law and communicate it to God's people and help teach it to them for the first time. But when it came to entering the Promised Land, the people were meant by God to follow someone else, Joshua. Personally, I feel like an Israelite on the bank of the Jordan River. The promised land is just there beyond the threshold of the river. Moving over there is exciting. I want to get there, but it will also be different. It will require new skills. There will be new challenges to overcome. But as we make that transition, I'm confident that God will go with us as God promised, and that God will bring us the gifts and the leadership that we need to adapt to our new environment and our new calling. We know how to tend the garden once it's been planted, but now we need to learn how to handle and plant seeds. That is something completely new and different for us. And doing it well will require for us new skills, new learning. And that's scary at times, but it's also a little exciting. So where are we in this sermon series on evangelism? First, we named the issue. We have this sense of calling. There are acorns out there that our roots are starting to grow, and we feel called by God to help bring those acorns to the good soil where they can grow and flourish. This week, we've explored the historic reasons why we feel so ill-equipped to be able to do that work. And in what follows in this sermon series, my hope is that God will help us to find some guidance and some inspiration to begin on the first steps of this journey of learning these new steps, not just of tending the garden, but helping to plant the seeds as well. As we do so, I trust that God will be with us and bless us and give us the leadership and the amazing grace that we need. Thanks be to God. Amen.